Chairman, distinguished delegates, I will now pull up the rest of the talk. Thank you, Yorgo. I will now tell you a little bit about how iGEM deals with biosecurity and dual use specifically. We explicitly support our teams in looking at the potential for their work to be used by others to cause harm. Our safety and security hub provides an introduction to these topics as well as links to additional information. We include biosecurity considerations in our whitelist, which determines which organisms, parts, and activities require more in-depth risk assessment. For example, all of the infamous 7 experiments of concern must be reviewed by a safety and security committee. Biosecurity is an important component of the information all teams are required to provide via their safety and security forms. Teams also have to think about the future biosecurity implications should their projects ever come to market. We run workshops open to all teams, exploring our values and risks from synthetic biology. These include an interactive hazard identification exercise that, in part, deals with biosecurity and dual use. Next, we will share with you some of the biosecurity experiences of our teams. The following 4 examples were published in the August 2021 edition of the Nonproliferation Review. One important biosecurity tool is run by the gene synthesis industry. They have briefed the BWC in the past about their harmonized protocol to screen orders to help prevent deliberate misuse. This team from Canada worked with member companies to test how well their order screening works. The team explored whether it would be possible to use something called RNA pseudonots to hide toxin genes from the screening system. They worked with 2 gene synthesis companies and determined that the existing screening tools could detect toxins encoded in this manner. A second team from the same university a few years later also worked with the gene synthesis industry to test their screening. This team worked with a recoded cell-free system that would reduce potential harm from accidental releases. They also explored whether it may be misused to fool screening tools. They worked with 5 gene synthesis companies and determined none of them were able to identify a potentially hazardous order concealed in this manner. The team shared these insights with the companies and with the IGSC and worked with them to strengthen the screening systems. In this third example, a team from Denmark wanted to use a series of genes from a pathogen. They initially requested permission to use parts from a bacteria on various export control lists, namely Salmonella typhi. A review of the parts suggested they were actually a better fit from genes from a different pathogen, not on export control lists, namely Salmonella enterica. A literature search quickly established that these genes were known virulence factors and that they might endow or enhance pathogenicity on various recipient organisms. This meant the parts were potentially subject to export controls. iGEM began working with the team to ensure that they were following the rules and working securely. The parts the team wanted to use came from a supplier in Canada. In Canada, export controls were governed by the Global Affairs Canada. They can consult with the Centre for Biosecurity from the Public Health Agency of Canada. So we reached out to members of our Safety and Security Committee from the Centre for Biosecurity. It was unclear whether the export rules applied in this case. The team were recommended to apply for an export licence or to request a formal decision from the Export Control Office. Both were likely to take longer than the competition lifecycle. We also connected this team with their national experts, the Center for Biosecurity and Biopreparedness in Denmark. In the end, the team found another functionally equivalent part, and as it came from a supplier within Europe, export controls did not apply. This German team from 2018 was working on a project to reclaim precious metals from old electronics. They realized that it may be possible to misuse their system to remove precious metals from electronics still in use. In other words, they were working on something that might be used to degrade or destroy electronic equipment. As a result, they pivoted their project to focus on reclaiming precious metals from mine runoff. Their engineered system worked the same way, but was designed to function in water and not in air. This considerably reduced the potential for it to be used by others to cause harm. This team was surprised they had not learned about biosecurity and dual use in their studies. They carried out a survey of other teams, colleagues, and students. They discovered that these issues were not being taught and there was comparatively little awareness. To help increase awareness, the team worked with their own university to speak to students. They helped to improve the resources available by working with their library to order key texts. They also developed a dual use awareness tool to help other iGEM teams think about these issues. They provided the tool to other teams and awarded them this button for successfully using it. We invited members of the team and their instructors to join our safety and security committee, and we are now working with them to offer an iGEM-wide workshop on this topic. In conclusion, what did we learn from these case studies? That dual use and biosecurity is not simple. That it's further complicated by a lack of awareness and unclear rules. It's incredibly valuable to be able to reach out to subject matter experts and national centres. But it is possible to take into account potential for malign misuse when developing, carrying out, and communicating the life sciences. Considering dual use and biosecurity does not prevent us from doing exciting, important research. It may mean adapting the path that scientists and engineers take to get to their desired results. There is certainly much technical work, including science and engineering, that needs to be done to improve our biosecurity tools. And policy development in this area would certainly benefit from more active participation from scientists and engineers. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.